want to thank those of you gentlemen that helped Stella move. I really appreciate your help. I think you're all settled in, right? That's good. You turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22, and as you're doing that, I want to make a quick announcement. We have a couples retreat coming up, and we have a sign-up sheet in the back. There, we will be staying at a hotel for those of you who want to spend the night. We have a evening time in which we do a study of sorts, and we have a morning time. You can spend the night there, or you can come back the next day and save your money. So that's the way we worked it, so that if the expense was going to be too much, then you didn't have to contend with that. But it's just down in the St. Augustine area. If you want to be at the hotel, then you're just going to have to make a reservation. We sent off for a guest speaker and had to bribe him with a whole lot of money, but my folks are coming down. So Mom and Dad will be actually doing the conference. So we're looking forward to the time together. In Genesis chapter 22 reveals to us a time of worship. We've been talking about worship, what worship is all about. And what we know is that the word is actually the word that we use for worship comes from an old English word, which means to ascribe worth to, worth-ship, that God is worth, that God is valuable. God is weighty is an interesting term that is used in the Hebrew. What we understand is that we're coming together and we're saying that we believe that God is valuable to us and that what he thinks and what he values, we value as well as him. There, to me, is hardly a better passage to look at when it comes to worship than this particular passage, because we begin to see within the text an intensity and a devotion that goes beyond our imagination, that somebody would be willing to sacrifice and trust in the one that he worships this much. We know that this is a text of worship because if you read with me in chapter 22, verse 5, Abraham turns to his young men and says, "Stay here with the donkey, I and the lad will go yonder, and we will worship and return to you." The passage starts off in Genesis 22 this way. "Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham.' And Abraham said, 'Here I am.' He said, 'Now take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac.'" A lot of descriptions there, aren't there? Your son. Your only son. The one who you love so much. Isaac. "And go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you." Wow. How do you do that? Worship requires getting real with your faith. It is believing God to be good against all visual and sensory stimuli to the contrary. I can't understand this. Everything in your soul is saying, this doesn't make sense. This doesn't seem right. He tells him to go to the land of Moriah. The Hebrew word is probably pronounced Moriah. It is a compound word which has the name Yahweh in it, or God. Yah is at the end. So we know it has something to do with God. Raya, in the middle of it, makes reference to perceiving or regarding. So it is a place in which you will perceive, it is a place in which you will regard God. God is calling upon us to regard him, to perceive him for who he is. Scripture tells us that God is good. God is calling upon us to perceive that, to watch him. He will ask us to do things. The thought is that God is taking advantage of us. The human perception is that God is not right. He's not fair. He's not just. but against everything we may hear or even feel, we believe that he is good. And we begin to get real with our faith. And it is in that realness that we actually begin to ascribe worth to him. We tell him that we believe him against all odds. Well, you know the story. He takes his son up, takes him on the Mount Moriah, which we know will ultimately become the place of the cross of Jesus Christ. He would go to sacrifice his son, and an angel will stop him. And God will declare, "Now I know that you would not spare your only son. I will provide a sacrifice for you right here on this place." And he did. So that we would not have to sacrifice ourselves, even though we were sinners. God sacrificed his son for us. Certainly God's love is proven to us. The question is, do you love him? And that's worship. There will be times in which God will tell you to obey him, to do things, and your initial thought is, it doesn't seem to make sense. But the question isn't whether or not you can figure out whether or not this is right or wrong. The question is, do you believe God to be good? And do you believe that everything he tells you is for your best? That's ascribing worth to God. And that's what worship's all about. Well, Father, we come before you today and we ask that you would begin to stir our hearts to ascribe worth to you. We believe you. We trust in you. You have demonstrated your love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How could we not believe you? We come and we give you our lives. We give you all that we have, all that we possess, and entrust these things to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. We give you thanks that you are trustworthy. In Jesus' name, amen.